The Old Testament lesson for the baptism of our Lord will serve as our sermon text this morning, Isaiah chapter 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I am placing my spirit on him. He will announce a just verdict for the nations. He will not cry out. He will not raise his voice. He will not make his voice heard in the street. A bent reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not snuff out. He will faithfully bring forth a just verdict. He will not burn out, and he will not be broken until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his law. This is what the true God says, the Lord who creates the heavens and stretches them out, who spreads out the earth and everything that it produces, who gives breath to the people on it and life to those who walk on it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will hold on to your hand and I will guard you. I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, to be a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring the prisoners out from the dungeon, and to bring those who sit in darkness out of prison. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again Isaiah chapter 42. I'll read verse 1 again. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I am placing my spirit on him. He will announce a just verdict for the nations. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we can't wait to meet our new pastor who will be coming to St. Paul's. No, we don't know who that is yet. We're still calling. But the Lord knows who it is, and he knows that we will be richly blessed by the gospel ministry of that one. We just can't wait to find out who it is. Isaiah was excited to introduce to us and to Israel God's new servant too. And what a blessing that one would be. He would be completely different than all others before him. So we're eager to meet this new servant too. In this section of Scripture known as the first song, the first servant song of Isaiah, Isaiah introduces his first hearers and us too to this new servant. Behold, he says, meet God's new servant, with whom God is pleased and who will make things right. Isaiah had spoken about the servant of the Lord before. In fact, this is a common theme that he uses in his second book of Isaiah, which is Isaiah 40 through 66. And it can be confusing because Isaiah means a lot of different things when he speaks about this servant of the Lord. Sometimes when Isaiah speaks about the servant of God, he means the spiritual house of Israel. All of those who are children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. That would include us here today. In fact, in the chapter right before this chapter, Isaiah chapter 41, God spoke about this nation, this spiritual Israel, when he said, but you, O Israel, my servant, O Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, whom I love, whom I have snatched from the ends of the earth, whom I have called from its corners, I have said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be overwhelmed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a blessing it is for us to know that we are servants of God, the Lord's servant, as spiritual as that spiritual house of Israel. Well, other times, this servant of the Lord, this servant of God in Isaiah refers to the physical descendants of Abraham, that nation of Israel. That is the servant of the Lord whom God had chosen. As physical descendants of Abraham, God had picked them out to be his special possession through whom the whole world would be blessed. Sadly, this nation of Israel was not pleasing to God. It was a great disappointment to God, in fact. And that was the result, that was the reason for much of Isaiah's prophecy against that nation of Israel. The children of Israel repeatedly ignored God's word. They took for granted God's grace and his blessings, and they time and again chose to disregard and disobey those commands. That's how God speaks at the end of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 42, about his servant, speaking of that physical nation of Israel. There he refers to that house as a rebellious Israel, his servant, that does not listen, that does not obey, blind ones that don't see, that do not believe. This is what he says. You deaf ones, listen. You blind ones, watch carefully so that you can see. Who is blind as my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger whom I sent? Who is as blind as my associate, as blind as the servant of the Lord? You, Israel, see many things, but you do not observe. Israel opens his ears, but he does not hear. Who gave up Jacob to looters and Israel to plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? Yes, that was that physical house of Israel, who is also called by Isaiah the servant of the Lord, in whom God was not well pleased. In truth, that is the way things are for all of us. Even the spiritual house of Israel, servant of the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ. Time and again we displease our God, a great disappointment to him. We hear God's word, but we don't listen to it. We see the works of God, but we don't observe and believe them. We act as if we are deaf and blind, and we're guilty time and again of corrupting God's right, his good. We violate his holy will. God is not at all pleased with us, this servant of the Lord. So he needs a new servant. That's why this first servant song of Isaiah, referring to this new, this different servant, is so refreshing, both for Israel as well as for us still today. Isaiah introduces this song with a significant word that we see often in the Old Testament scriptures, with the word see, behold. It's translated here in this translation, hear, but it's such a stronger word than that. It's bold, it's attention-grabbing, and it's perfectly fitting to introduce this new servant of God. Behold, my servant, the Hebrew says. And God says it to us too. Behold, look at this new servant that God is ready to introduce to us. And we are so eager to meet this new one because he is different. God says this one is the one whom he upholds. Unlike the nation of Israel, which rebelled, which failed, which fell, and could not hold up their end of God's bargain, God's covenant. Unlike us, who also do not hold up our end of the bargain of obedience to God's covenant, his will, his holy law, this one can stand. This one is firmly established in that covenant of God. Later in our text, Isaiah says, I will hold on to your hand, and I will guard you. I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, to be a light for the nations. There the Lord is speaking to this new servant directly, Jesus Christ our Savior. Where everyone else breaks and ruins that covenant between God and man, this one, this servant of the Lord, the new servant of God that we are introduced to here, succeeds to be a covenant for the people. He holds up his end of the bargain, and God is pleased with him. So God goes on to say about this new servant, my chosen one, in whom I delight. What a change. One in whom God is pleased. One who actually does the work of God. When we read these words, especially in this context of this Sunday, the baptism of our Lord, how can we not think of it as a direct messianic prophecy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in whom God is well pleased? Yes, this one, and in no other. This one, who at his baptism heaven opened and the Spirit of God descended and anointed in the form of a dove to mark him as God's chosen one, God's special new servant. And then God the Father spoke his own voice about this one, in whom I am well pleased. Yes, Jesus is a direct fulfillment of these promises found in so many places in the Old Testament. Psalm 2, for instance, where God says, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Or again, this verse, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I am placing my spirit on him." Yes, these words of our Isaiah are fulfilled and perfectly and only by Jesus Christ, the new servant to whom we are introduced. But if you may question that claim, we need only look at Matthew for the direct statement from the New Testament that Jesus indeed fulfilled these words. Matthew says in chapter 12 about Jesus' ministry, "Since Jesus was aware of the plot to kill him, he withdrew from that place. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them all. He ordered them not to tell others about him. This happened to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet." And then Matthew goes on to quote these verses of our text from Isaiah 42, the first servant song of Isaiah. "So behold, be introduced to God's new servant and how different he is. See how it is that he comes to bring pleasure and delight to the Lord. Look at how God is pleased with him." God is pleased with him because he lives according to God's commands. God is pleased with him because he comes to die for the sins of the world. He knew about the death that was being spoken of him, but he understood that that is why he came. This is God's servant, the new servant to come to fulfill God's covenant perfectly and please God by his sacrifice on the cross to remove our sins. And friend, this new servant of God comes to please God in order that he might restore you. He comes to bring delight to God in your place as a servant that failed to please him, so that he may rescue you from your sins, in order that he may save you from the condemnation that you deserve. He comes to be baptized so that by your own baptism, God could say the same thing about you that he said about this servant. In you, I am well pleased. What a commendation from God to us through this new servant of God, Jesus Christ. Isaiah goes on to explain more fully how this servant will accomplish his service, how he will bring pleasure and delight to the Lord. He will do so because he will make things right. Right. That's a word that is repeated in this Hebrew text. It's an important word. It's a word that at its root means judgment. We see this word and we might be tempted to think law. We might think of God's justice. We think of God's punishment. And often it means that. It means judgments and condemnations. It means justice and executing the law of God. But here in this text, when that word justice, judgment, is used, it's not a reference to God's law. Instead, it's just the opposite. It is the very gospel of God, the good news of salvation, because this new servant to whom we're introduced is coming to establish that justice, to perform that right for us. That is the gospel. Our EHV translation does a wonderful job of translating that word in our text to reflect this gospel focus in this context. It translates in verses 1 and 3, "a just verdict," and again in verse 4, "justice." We know these concepts by a related word, justification. That's God's just verdict, his pronouncement upon us of not guilty. What an important theological term it is. God's right verdict, his good verdict, his just verdict of not guilty that he pronounces upon us because of the servant who came to do right, who came to perform justice. Yes, at the coming of his servant who will bring justification for a sin-stricken world, he establishes that just verdict for us. Later on, Isaiah the prophet would sing about this servant of the Lord again in reference to his suffering and death on the cross. In perhaps one of the most familiar, most famous chapters of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. There he says, "My just servant will justify the many, for he himself carried their guilt." Yes, this is that right that this new servant brings for us, too. He came to fulfill righteousness. Even when John the Baptist challenged this one at the waters of the Jordan River, and understandably so, a sinful man being asked to baptize the Holy Son of God, Jesus rightly answered with exactly that truth, "Let it be so now, because it is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." Exactly right, Jesus. He is making everything right for us, fulfilling all righteousness for us, establishing right, establishing this just verdict. This is why Isaiah prophesies about this justice, about this just verdict, repeatedly in our text for us today when he says, "He will announce a just verdict for the nations." And again, "He will faithfully bring forth a just verdict." And again, "He will not burn out, and he will not be broken until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his law." Yes, this one establishes justice by his perfect life, by his good and right for us in our place. So at the end of our text, God addresses his servant directly. He speaks no longer about the servant of the Lord. Instead, he speaks to him. He says, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will hold on to your hand and I will guard you. I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, to be a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring the prisoners out from the dungeon, and to bring those who sit in darkness out of prison." There God the Father speaks to his own Son. So we meet God's new servant. Who is this friend but Jesus, your Savior? The one because of whom and his work God can say of you, "With you I am well pleased." The one because of whom God can declare, "You are right." Meet this new servant of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.